الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. Tuesday, the 19th of September 2000, we were studying the tafsir of Ayat al-Kursi. And so far, we're still trying to understand Al-Hayy al-Qayyum. Allah la ilaha illa huwa al-Hayy al-Qayyum. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Now, today we shall continue with studying a few more things about the Hayy al-Qayyum in relation to other forms of life, other kinds of life, and see how different it is and what does the Quran say about life in general. One or two things I must point out. First of all, is that this class is intended for us to help understand the Quran better. And therefore, I am sure we are all making attempts to understand Arabic better, because the Quran can only be understood if we try to translate literally every word that we recite in Arabic. Then sometimes we shall miss the meaning that is intended by Allah in using the word Arabic. So I am assuming that when I say the word Hayy or Qayyum, all of us here will understand exactly what I'm saying. To clarify, especially these two words, Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum, let me just mention two things, Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum. To my surprise, I found that there are many Mufassirin who claim that these are not two separate attributes, but in fact are just one attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For you cannot have Qayyum without being Hayy, and he cannot be Hayy without being Qayyum. Now, other scholars argue that that is true for every attribute of his, because if you take Alim, for example, right? Al-Alim, Allah is Alim, Allah knows everything. You cannot have him know everything without being Hayy, can you? So therefore the argument is that whatever sifat, whatever attribute you take, you can really couple them and say this is one attribute, because all attributes are his, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if you remember the meaning of Qayyum, we say Qayyum is that power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that sustains our life, that sustains not only his life, not that he is alive and self-sustaining, no. His life, and he gives life to others, sustaining everything else that he has created. That is the meaning of Qayyum. So everything else is standing. He makes it stand. You see, the word from Qiyam, the word Qayyum is from the word Qiyam. Qiyam is to stand. He makes everything stand by him, by his power, right? So Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum literally means that not only is he alive, but he is alive in a way that he makes everything stand. Now, we saw the connection of لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم, that every other form of life except for his, right, is something that is met with an obstacle. So there is slumber, there is sleep, and there is death. These are varying degrees of loss of life, loss of activity. And every other form of life, except for his life, will go through this process, either of slumber or of sleep or of death. And so by that we understand that Allah has used لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ, making clear the concept of life. You see, when I say I am alive, and we say Allah is alive, is there a difference between my being alive and His being alive? What is the difference?
Yours is a transitory life. It begins and ends. Limited. Yours is very limited.
Forget about beginning or end. I am saying I am alive right now.
But it's limited in every way.
You're not constantly alive. You go to sleep, but then you come alive.
Now, for example, now, this moment,
you are
this moment now, I am not going to sleep just now, I am awake, I am active.
You're dependent on the air.
Sorry?
You're dependent on so many things.
To
stay alive, you're dependent on so many
things. No, at this moment you exist because Allah chooses you to exist.
No, you can be killed.
No, you can just cease to exist if He wishes. I mean, your existence is depending on
His existence. I'll tell you one thing that I have learned from Tafsir. When I started studying Tafsir, I have learned one thing. That when we try and argue, or try to explain, right? We try to explain in a haphazard manner. Right? We try to explain from this particular point, from that particular point. Why? Because we form our basis of our argument and say, we believe we are different. Now, we have to find a reason why we're different. Right? When actually, in Islamic studies, there is a methodology. That, look, we follow the methodology and we come to the same conclusion, but not that we conclude first and then find the method. We are all, I am included, I'm not saying that I am free from this fallacy. Almost all scholars fall into this fallacy, is that they come to a formal conclusion first. Because it is our firm belief that we are different from Allah. How can I compare myself, my life to Allah's life? Can I say I am alive and Allah is alive is the same? So we firmly believe that, and because we firmly believe that, now we go around looking for us. Right? We say we are dependent on something, He is not dependent. That is not the question. We defined life last time, if you remember. We defined life. Life is something that can sense and will. These two words are the key words that defines basic form of life. Even the plants, they can sense and will. I'm sure you all remember the experiment when you block light and just leave a small hole in the side of the box. That plant will sense the light coming from that and will to bend it itself to go towards the light. So even that basic form of life is there, is defined as sense and will. Or in Arabic you call ilm and qudra. So the concept of life is like, if I say that the Holy Prophet was insan, human. Abu Lahab was? So was he an insan? He was a human being. Technically. Is that a difference? So what is the difference? That is why in Arabic you have, I can't find the English equivalent, but if I give you the Arabic first, you have the mafhum and you have the mistaq. Right? The mafhum is the definition, technical definition, if you may. Right? So, when we come to technicalities, life is life. But when it comes to applying that form of life, the mistaq that led sadaqah, arabiya sadaqah Allah, mistaq that led when we apply. Now, when you apply life to Allah and you apply life to Me, you are actually applying ilm and qudrat, right? Now I can say that His ilm is nowhere near my ilm. His qudra is nowhere near my qudra. And therefore, we vary in the misdaq, not in the mafhum. The concept of life is the same concept, the basic concept. Just like when we compare Abu Lahab and the Holy Prophet, we say they are insan. Insan as in a talking animal, hayawan nabat, right? They're both insan. But when it comes to misdaq, when it comes to application, then the Holy Prophet, as insan, hayawan nabat, who has qudra, who has ilm, who has this and that and so on, you find the Holy Prophet much more higher than
Abulah.
Now, this is just an introduction to help understand. Today, we're looking at verse number 1744 to explain. Let me just ask one question first before we refer to the verse. Let me ask you the question. What do you think? The question goes like this. Please listen to the question first before you refer to the verse. Listen to the question. What do you think? Is life there in every creation of Allah? Is there life in every creation of Allah? When I say every creation, I mean everything else created by human beings through the power given to them by Allah. Or no, let me put it this way. We're not talking of man-made things. Let's talk of things that Allah has created. Allah has created animals, plants, trees, mountains, rocks, stone, water, rivers, seas, clouds, you name it. Is there life in every creation of Allah or not? And as a clue, I give you the verse. The first verse of Surah Al-Jumu'ah. يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ. Praise. Tasbih. You know what is tasbih? Tasbih is not that physical 100 beats that we take out. No. Tasbih is the act of saying Subhanallah. Praise be to Allah. That act of saying Subhanallah is called tasbih. Right? In Arabic, that 100 beads unit is actually called al-sbah. It's not called al-sbah. Right? Tasbih is actually the act of saying Subhanallah. Now, everything that there is on the skies and the earth praises the Lord. يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And this verse, or similar verse, probably mentioned once or twice, and mentioned several times. Right? Now, with this clue, do you still think that there is life in every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, animate or inanimate?
And that's your definition of life, where you sense and will or react.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's
will
and whose definition is that? No, I'm serious. Because, you know, in science, people don't use that definition.
Yes.
One of their definitions is philosophy. To replicate.
We're talking of Ilm-e Kalam.
Right. So
Ilm-e Kalam is philology, right? We're talking of Ilm-e Kalam because when it comes to life as in science, it is a different definition.
So who's right. Defined that?
These are the scholars, right? Mufassireen, Mutakallimeen, as they call it. That when it comes to life as understood in the Holy Quran, right? Or as understood when we apply in religious circumstances, in religious context, right? Who is, what is life? Because then, mind you have to bear this in mind that Allah, you have to bear in mind that everything else, all other creatures of Allah that have life, right? And say, now, what is life? And this definition is derived not in a scientific method or just out of, you know, it is derived from a hadith. There are ahadiths that describe this. Ilm-e Kalam is a science that is developed. You see, there are certain ahadiths that ordinary laymen would not understand in the first glance. They would only understand if explained in depth. Right? Such ahadiths are the ahadiths that have helped us derive this definition. So, for the moment, you see, to go into depth as to why ilm and why qudra and what level and all that, that would mean going into basics of philosophy, which we are not, I would say, we are not here, right? Right now, let's take this for, let's assume this is right. Sense and will. You know, ilm and qudra literally means knowledge and power as well. But to break it down to the basics, idrak or irada, that's what it is, right? Idrak is to sense. Something is wrong. To be able to sense means I can know, right? And that is the basic definition of life. Anything that can sense and can will, right? There's the basic form of life. Now, when we come to inanimate objects of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do they have life or not? Bearing in mind two things. One, the definition of life, as described by scholars, is sense and will. Right? This is one. And secondly, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that everything that is on this earth and the sky is actually doing this tasbih. Glorifying. So who can glorify?
I think they're glorifying him by following his nature.
But
by just doing what they're supposed to do.
By, like, for example, by mountain just staying majestic over other things. Yeah?
By not falling apart.
Not falling apart.
Well, take a ball. It bounces. It senses there's a ground and it reacts by bouncing. I mean, I'm serious. That's a reaction, isn't it?
No, I think it all boils down to the meaning of glorifying.
Huh?
What is glorification? I think is, if we have to understand what is glorification. If we
glorification, I know what Abbas is saying. Glorification is something that leads you to the way of Allah, and therefore it has glorified its creator by showing you a path towards Allah.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that in that way then everything is glorified. That everything is doing this way, in a sense.
Right, let's look at Surah 17, verse 44. Right.
Does man sometimes mean ma as well, how you're saying all of this? Like our man, isn't it?
Man fi hinna, whoever...
The humans, or I mean not humans, but
things. Living things.
Again, it means that Allah is giving life to life form to every creature. You see, Ayatollah Tabatabai goes at length to prove. He goes at length to prove that every creation of Allah has a form of life. String tasbih. Right? By doing tasbih, that means it has the will and the sense to actually do tasbih. The difference is, he says, that in those objects that are inanimate, like the mountains and the rocks, right, the earth, Allah says, وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِحًا. But you do not comprehend, you do not understand, because they are doing al-qusr. They are doing it in their way. They are doing it in a dimension where your ears are not strong enough or not powerful enough to understand the tasbih.
It might not be audible either.
Inaudible.
It might not be certain
wavelengths that our ears are not tuned to them. And therefore, he argues the same thing. Ayatollah Tabatabai says that if you claim that tasbih is something that actually leads, like many Mufassirin have said, that tasbih, by attributing the act of glorifying to inanimate objects, Mufassirin have said that this is in actual fact a testimony to Allah's existence. So if you marvel at the beauty in which Allah has created the mountains and the valley, this will take you to the Creator. Right? So just by their beauty, they are doing the speech. Many Mufassirin have said that. And he, Ayatollah Tabatabai, argues, and he says, look, for every verse that has an apparent meaning, if you take a deeper meaning, there must be some evidence that takes you to a deeper meaning. If you take yusabbihu, tasbih, that is the apparent meaning of the word yusabbihu. If you say that is metaphorical by saying that no, just the existence is an act of glorification, you need something to prove that you have taken this metaphorical. And that something has to be either from the Quran or from Hadith.
No, that something is because you cannot reconcile a stone being tasbih in any other way.
Ah.
So that is the evidence.
That is the Tayyidashik.
Tayyidashik.
That's limiting belief.
That is why understanding the Quran is not as easy as we think. Huh? there are so many things that can become clear once you have that primary faith, that basic belief. Okay, Allah is not only all-powerful, but there are things that are happening right in front of our eyes that we can't see, and it is happening. It is happening. There may be just a fleeting, passing remark in the Holy Quran. A reference ki bhai aatishan. That's it. Right? But we have to believe ki aatishan is here. What is stopping the earth from glorifying the Sadiya just the way as we do, subhanAllah, in its own language? And mind you, this verse 1744 says, the verse starts, تُسَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ. The seven skies and the earth actually are performing the act. It does not say, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. That is a different verse. That verse says that glorifies Him who is on the earth and the skies. مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا. This is تُسَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعَ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ. Actual skies and the earth, and then he adds by saying, and whoever is in them. So by saying whoever is in them, the first is referring to who? The skies, the earth. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُ. There is nothing on this earth. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ. You see, the word shay is a very, very vast word. A very vast word. It covers everything you can think of. Because it literally means thing. Whether you're talking of animals, you're talking of plants, you're talking of human beings, the word used is shay. When Allah says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like Him. That means there is no explanation in this that will ever tell you that this is like Allah. Never. Nothing. Whether it is a concept, whether it is a physical thing, nothing. Similarly here Allah says, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ. But you cannot comprehend, you cannot understand. These are yet the secrets, the inner dimensions of existence that are coexisting with us. Imagine hadith al-Quds, we open this Kalimatullah, Sayyid Hassan Shirazi in Egypt. Sayyid Hassan Shirazi has compiled Kalimatullah. If you read the Kalimatullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to His messengers, telling them what the earth is telling Him. What the earth is telling Him to Allah. And Allah conveys that message to the prophets and says that the earth is complaining that you have done this, this, this.
We got a verse of the Quran that says the earth will talk to people.
بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى.
The earth will talk. But we always thought that was a bit metaphorical meaning.
You see, this is what Ayatul Kafakab says. Tafsir of the Quran. Basically, that the apparent word is the apparent meaning, right, is a hujjah. Hujjiyat zahira, if you remember the first few sessions. That first word is a hujjah. Now, if you want to use that as a metaphorical meaning, it's like the earth is referring to people who are on earth. Bring your evidence.
What about the evidence of asking? Of that, the stone, for example. A stone doesn't speak, therefore it's probably metaphorical.
A stone doesn't speak in which word?
Well, I mean, for example, we don't know. So it may refer, when we say that everything glorifies Allah, by their existence, by following the system that Allah has created for them to follow.
Yeah, in the commentary, yes.
I mean, that's a
valid explanation. That's the commentary, that's the most common commentary.
What he says actually is that's one view that is just obeying the rules, but people say that then there was no need of saying, but you don't understand their faith. That's quite an easy way of understanding. In order of existence is more or less endowed with then it must mean something beyond the grasp of everyone. On this basis, they have asserted that every being in the order of existence is more or less endowed with some degree of life or psychic.
Well, we don't understand existence. I mean, we're knowing more and more things about existence today.
If you understand tasbih to be a metaphorical meaning that just the existence is glorifying, then the words لا تفقهون تسبيحهم do not make sense.
Well, they do. Because even today, the existence that we know, every generation of human beings has thought we know more about the existence than the last generation did. And how much more are the future generations going to know? I'm talking just in the physical sense. Today we have theories that we can't imagine what the universe is made of.
Yes, so then how do you know in the future that it might not be understood?
No, what I'm saying is that's a perfectly valid meaning that, you know, without them having to actually speak in some wavelength.
There was a
very
interesting thing on TV. They show a plant and they manage to get sound waves out of it. And there's a background sound that every plant is making. Okay? And then when you try to cut one, there's a screaming sound the plant is making. As it dies, there's a dying crying the plant is making. It was fantastic in showing that it is always making a sound, right? A resting sound.
How did they pick up these sounds?
Using very powerful amplifiers. There is a resting sound, there is a sound it makes when the leaves are full of food, there is a different sound it makes when the leaves are not full of food, right? When the photosynthesis process has not occurred. There is a different sound it makes as you try to cut it or you kill it or you break the flower off and everything. It's an amazing, it was documented.
But saying that, we know that the plant has life.
Yeah, we're talking of now inanimate objects.
But the sounds you're talking of, you know, water comes from the roots to the leaves. They go through tubes. Anything that travels through tubes makes a sound. It's a vibration. I mean, it's not something magical and mythical.
No, but the point this program was making was that the kind of conclusion it was drawing are that different sounds had different activities.
You're talking of activity within the plant, but you know when it comes to killing,
maybe. But you know there could be a different sound. I mean, it's like the sound of a machine. Every car makes a sound, and nobody's going to say, "Oh, wow, look at the car." It's just a sound. You turn off the engine, it makes another sound. You start the engine, it makes another sound. No, I'm serious. I mean, it's just the sound.
I mean, any sound waves that could be from the left.
No, it's probably the sound. It's the sound of the plant. The plant is making the sound.
The point the program was making was the plant is making sounds, a different pipe.
When you want something to believe,
the plant is making a sound to talk to another plant.
That they couldn't prove.
I mean, no. Then we're talking about something else. But
the plant is reacting to different stimuli with different sounds.
But we know that it does that physically anyway with the sound.
Even rocks in
here answers. We're talking, well, see, the difficulty with the tasbih issue is we are not giving it only, we're giving it some sort of consciousness. We're giving a stone a consciousness that it has that much in it that it will do tasbih physically of its creator. And the other thing is that, you know, tasbih only matters, maybe I'm wrong here, but tasbih only matters from a creature who is capable of not doing tasbih. Otherwise, the tasbih of a creature who is programmed to do tasbih makes no sense, right?
Can angels
means it has not got inherent work in it.
So what is the answer?
Because it is programmed.
So what? Because they can't do anything
else.
So human beings.
It's not used as an evidence against the human beings. No.
No. What I'm saying, human being is the only creature who has a will.
Absolutely.
Some humans don't do tasbih and some do.
And therefore,
I presume every single plant, you don't get a black sheep plant that doesn't do tasbih. Right? So it has no inherent consciousness. So in a sense, it is doing tasbih. I accept it's doing tasbih, but not in the sense that
it doesn't mean as a consequence of that tasbih there is going to be sawab and jannah. Okay. What we are saying is the form of life. We are not saying the essence of life. That is there in animals, in plants, in human beings. There is this little form of life which the creation of Allah has, in which they do the tasbih.
But isn't it easier to sort of accept that what it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is that none of them are capable or are disobeying at any time, really. None of them is going against my will, in a sense. And in that way they are doing tasbih.
That is again, you're taking a different meaning of the sleep.
Yeah.
Just like we can do this in our head without anybody knowing. Move the stones and then we're doing something which we have no idea about, but it's something internal.
I don't think we'll ever find the answer. Maybe our next generation will find the answer.
No, hang on, the stones are probably doing, and everything that exists is probably doing a lot more than we know, simply because we don't know that much about it. But it's not consciousness.
It's not.
We'll find out that stones are made of atoms, which are made of, you know, particles, subatomic particles, which are made of strings, and which are made of something else that we don't even think about. But, I mean, it's not funny, it's real. But, you know, every generation...
You see, what I'm thinking of, look at the last part of the verse that says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ حَلِيمًا غَفُورًا.
Why?
We can't read each other. Halim al Ghafur Ashamar. And we said, if you remember, that the last two verses will give you the gist of the whole.
The only sense it can make is that, you know, if despite his weakness, a human being is too proud to do tasbih, Allah watches with hilmin, you know, with patience. Hilm is like he can take revenge but doesn't, can he? Isn't that what hilm means?
Forbearance, tolerance.
Tolerance. He tolerates it. And oft forgiving means he gives them a second chance.
Or a third chance, or a fourth chance.
Maybe.
What about
many
the inability to see from all of these signs, see all the glory, and still not being able to say that, there is no Allah, or not forgiving or something?
Yeah, Akbar's got a point. You know, if you know this Mufassirin who say that the point, this is always what I thought this ayat meant. Okay, looking at these inanimate objects, you know, where it says, okay, you don't understand the tasbih sometimes. It means, okay, it is pointing towards the truth. Right? You know, if these creatures are doing tasbih of Allah without any ibrah for mankind, any lessons to be gleaned for mankind, then what is their purpose of tasbih?
This is very interesting.
Yeah. Or no?
No, you don't have a very time. I'll tell you why.
Because, you see, what Akwa is saying is that man is incapable of taking the lessons from all these creatures who are doing tasbih all around us. But that
man has
man is
enough
not
to teach him other than all these things. That he must realize. Currently, if you remember, Bani Israel, which are studying Ghazala, do you remember the nature of human beings you have to study here? Given all these miracles that took place in front of them, despite that, these Jews turned away from faith, from believing. Why? Because when some things happen in front of you, it ceases to be an event. Right? So many things happen. As you know, for example, I'll give you a simple example of volcanoes. After volcanoes, earthquakes, Asia, Sandwich, right? These are disasters that are now fully and in details explicable by science. Check it out. Right? You can explain why exactly, you can forecast, everything. Right? It ceases to be an ibrat. Namaz ayat for. When you can explain everything, this is how it happened. Not only can you explain how it is going to happen, you can exactly say it is going to happen on this day after 2 days or 3 days. Right? Volcano or nothing. But you go back to the books of Hadith, you find that for every action and reaction that is taking place in the system that Allah has created, there are angels awaiting the instructions of Allah. There are what? Angels awaiting the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hadith books are full of this kind of hadith. And me and you, if we open this book, we will say, angels, I know what is that. Right? This is where the element of faith comes in. Achane, pelato, this thing, it has no bearing on our faith. Whether this stone, a mountain, does we carry significance? What difference is it going to make? Is it going to make any difference in my mind?
Before you move on, between what you're saying and what Abbas is saying, what is the difference that we've reached? Because both of you agree that this stone does not have consciousness.
No, you are. Yeah. He has understood exactly what I'm saying. So no, what I'm saying is, it's a question of faith on what Allah is doing. If we try and rationalize all we have, right, we are missing the goal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reason why He has not made us strong enough to listen to the tasbih of mountains, and then He tells us the mountains are being tasbih. He said, but I can't listen to it. What difference does it make? Does it make a difference? He doesn't. I cannot learn from the mountains to do tasbih, like you say. I can't. I can't even learn the fact that Allah has created the mountains with a certain kind of power to do tasbih. Huh. So what difference does it make? Check any difference? Kind of. As far as your faith is concerned, kind of. But when it comes to your understanding of the powers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a difference. How can we pray and say, kya volcano hai, hai chiye, khuda hume badane bachaye bas? Why do we pray to God? If there is a system that is perfectly explicable, okay, how this system will take place, this the lava will come out,
No, but we did that in the last lecture. We said in Ayatul Kursi that no one can change Allah's system without His permission.
Absolutely.
And Allah can change that system.
Now,
so that's why we're praying to Allah.
That's what I'm saying. The scenario is that every action and reaction that is taking place, there are angels awaiting for the instructions of Allah. Angels. That is His creation. Awaiting for the instructions of Allah. Do we go forward or do we not? So if anybody can change the action, the reaction to an action, is who? Is Him. By telling the angels. However, if I tell you there are angels everywhere, right? Would that scenario fit in? With a science explanation, if I ask, these things happen like that.
No, but it fits in, but not little guys with wings. No, I mean angels, you know, this is what we've been portrayed, but it's not the case. Nobody understands.
It might be a semantic thing like the shaitan.
No.
Shaitan is referring to germs, it might be a semantic.
But, you know, angels are angels, but we don't necessarily know exactly what they are. We know what one angel
is. What's the problem with the wing? There's an ayat saying they have one wing, three wings, four wings.
No, what I'm saying is we have in our minds little things that we see in churches.
No, but that's because Quran also says that there are angels with four wings, three wings, and two wings.
We've done that before, not necessarily the way we imagine it. I mean, what would be the purpose of having feathers? Why? It wouldn't do anything, right?
Right. Let's go on. We can sit here and argue and discuss about this the whole night. The important thing is to understand, okay, when it comes to describing or understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Imams were so particular that even in the choice of words, they would correct their convictions. When you are talking about Allah, when you want to describe Allah, make sure you describe Him correctly. Don't use these words. Up to words, huh? Somebody was reciting the dua in the presence of our eighth holy Imam, and he said, Alhamdulillahi muntaha ilmi. Right? That means, okay, praise be to Him up to the end of what He knows. And Imam corrected him and said, there is no end to what He knows. Is there an end? There is no end. So you don't say muntaha ilmi. Although he was meaning, the companion was saying, eternity, permanent, because there is no muntaha. But he was saying, Imam was correcting and saying, no, don't say that, because that is ambiguous. That can have two meanings. What you do is you say muntaha rila, up to the end of His pleasure. So the companion immediately asked Imam and said, is there an end to rid Allah, Allah's pleasure? And Imam said, yes. فَيَنْتَهِي رِضَاهُ مَتَى مَا يَبْدَأُ غَضَبُ. His pleasure ends where His wrath begins. So where His wrath begins, His pleasure is not there. So there are certain acts, sifat, certain sifat, fi'aliyya as we call it, you know, the last time we got it, that these have a beginning and have an end, have a boundary, because they cannot combine with other things. But there are certain that are dhatiyya, that have no ending. Jahl cannot come with his ilm, because his ilm is inherently himself, right? Now, there are two forms of life that I wish to compare. The difference. that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after giving us life on this earth, has made sure that in the Holy Quran He has clearly said that this life that you consider life on this earth is worth what? What is it worth?
Sorry, have we come to a conclusion here? Because only you and Abbas understand. The rest of us don't.
No, there is no conclusion. Both Mufassirin, as you know, there is some Mufassirin say that this is glorifying its existence. Right? Allah believes that it is not that, it is literally doing the tasbih, but in a manner that we cannot comprehend. So both these, you can't have, I've said this, you can't have a clear cut tafsir and say, this is what it means. Right? So both the answers, both the theories are separate. They have argument for and against, both of them, right?
Now if you can't understand them, no. If what Al-Tabatabai is strength also lies in the fact of this part, near this clause in the verse, but you do not understand them.
Well, yeah, one of his strong arguments is this. The first one is the principle of using it as a metaphorical.
So Mawad Iqbal said, even I have poyas. That those words are otherwise redundant, so you are leading to be, we are led to believe there is a psychic aura around
these. Can it not mean this, that if you say that something glorifying Allah is glorifying because of its existence, and then go on to say, but you cannot understand its glorification, that means you cannot understand its existence, means its existence is so deep that look and look and look and you still won't see the end of it. Isn't that what it could mean as well?
Simple rock.
It can mean that.
Well, anything. I mean, today a simple rock is made of things. We still don't understand what they're made of.
The only thing I can think of is you do not understand means you don't take any note.
Huh?
You do not understand its glorification means you don't learn from it. Despite seeing it, you're not any wiser for it.
The word used is tafqahun. You know, it's different from ta'lamun. Right?
What is
tafqahun? Is ta'muq. Right? التاجر فاجر حتى يتفقه في الدين. تفقه means to have a deeper understanding.
To know.
Not as ilm. The word ilm is a more common word, right? The hadith of the Prophet says, التاجر فاجر حتى يتفقه في الدين. Means a businessman is corrupt until he understands his religion in a deeper manner. Right? That means tafaqqah. Right? It's not just to know what is right and what is wrong. It is to understand it deeply. So, like I said, I still believe that both these versions may be right. And because it is something that does not make a difference, whether I believe this or I believe that, there are pros for both. Right? I think Ayatollah Tabatabai's main point were three. One was in rejecting that particular theory that this is existence is glorification. One was that if you conclude that this is just a metaphorical explanation of tasbih, then you have to have an evidence to that, number one. Number two, walakin tasbih la tafqahuna tasbihahum, then you do not comprehend or understand their tasbih. And the third one, which I'm trying to find out, I just can't recall what it is the last words. Innahu kana halima ghafura.
It's to do with the last two. There's also the evidence from the other surah that shows that these things do speak. These inanimate objects are capable of communication, like in the surah of, is it Takathur? Or Zilzal, one of them.
Surah Zilzal. وأخرجت الأرض قالها وقال الإنسان ما لها
يومئذ
تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك وحاها. It's going to go. Happy summer?
No, never.
Right. Let's go to the next thing. After giving us life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in the Holy Quran told us what this life is worth. What is this life worth? Now, we are comparing it with life in the hereafter. Mind you, try and understand that these are different grades of life. life Allah has given us. I am not talking of the different physical phases of life that we go through in our lifetime, no. Forget that. There we are intelligent enough to notice the difference that between our quality of life when we are young and now when we are older is different. That is different. I'm saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in the Holy Quran that compared to the hereafter, which we all believe in hereafter, and now Allah is saying that the life you have compared to the one you are going to get there, what is the difference? And you will find the Holy Quran, Allah has used adjectives describing this life on this world, on this earth, our life right now. The adjectives that he has used la'ibun wa lahun. You know what la'ibun is? Ramat, game, right? Lahun is something that wastes your time. Lahu is anything that wastes your time. The word he has used is mata'. Thori maja. Mata' literally means short term pleasure. Right? These are the words. Zinat hayat dunya. Zinat is an adornment. You know, he describes, Ayatollah Tabatabai describes zinat so nice. He says zinat means an adornment. An adornment is something that you wear so that you can accomplish something else. You adorn something. Not for the sake of it, so that you get something. Zinat hayat dunya. This world, this life is just zinat. These are the different adjectives used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, wa inna ad-dar al-akhirata la hiya al-hayawan. That in the hereafter is the true life. So, what is the difference in this life and that life? Is it anything to do with the technical description of ilm al-qudra? That sense and will. What we sense here, what we will here, is more or less similar to what we are going to sense there, what we are going to will there. Yet Allah says the life, quality of life that you have here compared to what you are going to get there is nothing. It's a short-term pleasure. It's an adornment. Is a game.
This adornment, is it used for this world? But the children and the wealth were used in
it. No.
Mal wal banun zinat al hayat.
No. Tabikum tabtaghuna zinat al hayat al dunya.
You are looking for the zinat.
The adornment of your worldly life. That's why.
Can you explain how do you use adornment to accomplish something? I've never heard it used like that before.
You always beautify to get something else, don't
you? You wear a watch or something.
Jewelry. By yourself and for what purpose? To look good, to
look smartest. For a purpose. Okay.
That's what he meant. That's what he meant. For a purpose. Yeah, but you wear a watch to tell time, that is different. But you wear a nice watch because you're going for a job interview or you're going to meet someone, that is different. That is beautiful. So whenever you beautify, you do it for a purpose. That is what Ayatollah Tabatabai was saying. Let me just give you the references. Any questions before I go ahead? Right, 632 is وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَعِبٌ وَلَحْبٌ. 1326 is also وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا مَتَاعٌ. Right, now. This is one comparison of the form of life we have in this world and the hereafter. Now we come to the difference in the life between human beings on this earth.
You are saying that Allah says you are all dead.
That is relative to him.
He says to the Prophet, he told him, so you are dead and they are all dead.
That is in relation to his life. Allah said, you see, the life of human beings compared to Allah's life, when relative to Allah's life is that we are there, He is alive. Because the true essence of life is Him. He has given us life. Right? So in relation to His kind of life, we are all there. إِنَّكَ مَيْتُ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَمَيْتُونَ. What we are coming to next is comparison relative to human beings themselves. There is a difference in the quality of life as in the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how the Quran sees life. We have seen the difference between life on this earth and the life in the hereafter. And we all know, we have heard so much about it. But let us look at the life here, okay, between the life that we lead and the life that non-believers lead. Right? Is there a difference in our life? What does the Quran say? Right? And for that, there are three verses that we must see. 6:122. So it is Surah Al-An'am, 6, isn't it? Yeah, 122. أَوَ مَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ كَمَنْ مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِنْهَا كَذَلِكَ زُيِّنَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. You see, life in this world, forget akhirat, in this world, life takes a meaning as far as the Quran is concerned or Allah is concerned when a person brings faith. When there is no faith in a person, that life has no value in Allah's eyes. No value. Right? So when you talk of humanitarian values, we're not talking of but of Muslim karuni. On humanitarian grounds, you feed even a kafir, right? You treat even a kafir equally. But when it comes to question of faith, because of faith we have a value in front of Allah, a person who does not have faith has no value. And that is why this verse says, أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا. He is alive. That person is not dead. We are talking of people who are alive on this earth. But Allah is now comparing that death and life as of their faith. A faithful person is alive. A person who does not have faith, there is no life. أَوَ مَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ. So we were all dead. أَحْيَيْنَاهُ, that means we gave life. Not as in مَرَلَاتَ, no, we are alive. أَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا. We gave him light. يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. With that light of faith, this person lives amongst people. Is he the same as those, like those, like that, who, like he who lives in darkness cannot come out of the darkness? Right? The darkness of what? Darkness of kufr. Right?
When you say faith, the Muslim or Shia faith or Christian
faith? There is faith in Allah and the Holy Prophet and the Day of Judgment. Muslims. We don't mean Muslims. Muslims and Shia are different in faith, different in level of iman, the taqwa, that is different. Christianity and Muslims. Who does not believe in a prophet is still in darkness. You got to understand. Right? However faithful they are, however much they believe in God, somebody who has not, like Ahmadiyya, who believes in the Holy Prophet, who believes that there is another prophet after him, but no longer a Muslim. So you can imagine how strict, how firm this line of faith is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is faith that gives us that quality of life. Let's look at another verse.
Okay, so Muslim, can we just look at that one? The last part of it, where I understand it says it's fair seeming for the disbelievers what they did, but why because of this?
Not because of this.
It says kadalika. Kadalika
does not mean because of it. It is like this.
It's a bad translation.
It says because.
It says thus. Thus means because.
Thus means in this manner. That's what it means. You know, thus can have these two meanings.
So,
in this manner, it is like this that they are.
It says here that the way it's made fair seeming for the disbelievers.
Yeah.
Well, nothing here says it's fair seeming for the disbelievers. The disbelievers are in darkness.
No, because you see, they don't understand the difference between death and life. True life is with faith. To them, true life may be that they are, they're enjoying in this world. They have all that they need for this world, right? So their activities seem fair to them. They continue on those lines. Because Allah is saying that it is the nur an yamshi bihin nas that makes, that gives life. Yeah. Let's look at 1697. I think this one is very clear. من عمل صالحا من ذكر وأنثى أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة. That giving of life will take place when? On birth? No. Not on birth. That life is there. The life that Allah says has a meaning in this world. Even though that in this world that life has no value compared to the life in the hereafter, but when we look at this world only, the time when this world, the life in this world has certain meaning in the eyes of Allah is when a person believes and does good deeds. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. Without faith. Imagine this question has been asked, for example, people who do not believe, yet they do good charity deeds, for example, what is their result going to be? This verse answers the question. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, primary condition is وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, must be a believer in Allah, otherwise there is no point. Kind rewards hasid. There may be certain social immediate rewards that they will get. There may be certain recognition in this world that they may get from Allah. But when it comes to that sawab, that jaza, that is reserved for believers. Those who believe not only in Allah, but in the system, that me by doing this, I will get a certain reward. I don't believe that I reward once and I will get a reward. Could you understand? When I do something, if I do it knowing ke wajib chi farik, but if I do it grudgingly ke this is wajib ne mane karwanu chi, not really believing ke bara sawab malse aa chi farik, that's mu'min. Wa huwa mu'min doesn't say iman billah, it says mu'min, somebody who believes that there is, there is going to be reward for that. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. So when we do these good things, when we do these kind acts, when we do that, we have to believe that we are doing this despite all odds, despite all difficulties, we are doing it because we want to lead a good life on this earth and get our reward in the hereafter. When we do it for that reason, then we have a quality to life on this earth, and in the hereafter, Allah will reward us. Provided we believe. And when I say believe, I mean we do those things. Kindness on this earth, kindness, right? Kindness would include thinking of others before you think of self, thinking of the neighbor who are needy, thinking of the sick and ill people who need visiting and so on. All these things, you think, karushe, so that we lead a good life and that the reward will come from the hereafter. That faith must be there. Aki thai kya maro sabo shi hum nahi jau to bolsa. So come on, so what are you believing? Are you believing in the reward? Okay, you are going there just to make sure he doesn't speak. And he won't speak because you went there. And Allah will tell you, you got your reward. You said yourself, you went with the belief in mind that if you don't go, he will speak. Now you went there, he did not speak. You got what you wanted. What else do you want? Hadith is full of examples on the Day of Judgment. Where people will ask and complain to Allah that where are these deeds that I have done? I remember having done this. And Allah will say, but you did this for this reason which you got on the earth. You're not getting anything. I remember a classic example I use whenever I talk about this is a girl, Anata. I remember when I Arabic no samatha jai mail pare masjid ma jai chume ratna ala exams when the exams are closed and so we want to pass our exams and we go to the mosque jai kumel pata jai kumel ma we seeking forgiveness for our sins at the back of our mind when we say we want to pass our exams we pass our exams no sins are forgiven why should they be forgiven why should they be forgiven have I been asking for forgiveness of sins when we do anything on this earth anything we've got to believe in that system to that there is reward if we do it for here for this world we will get this world
شهيد الحمار
شهيد الحمار ياتي ذلك
شهيد
الاستغيب
this is the story of the man in Ohad
when
you're burying the people in Ohad
شهيد المحراب الاستغيب يعني كتاب عليك الزروب شهيد الحمار
the Muslim said this is a good man we should bury him in Fatiha and the Prophet died in the battle but call him شهيد الحمار because in the thick of the battle he saw a beautiful donkey and he thought that donkey I want for myself in the multi so he made an attack and was killed on the way to the donkey, you know, where he was from the Muslim army. Terrible.
Gave up his life for a donkey.
But is it really like that? He could have been such a great guy all the way, and that last few minutes, he really messed it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't expect to die on the way to the donkey.
No, but I mean, none of that previous stuff would be considered?
No.
It would be considered, but he did not attain money. That is the reason, that was the lesson.
Because we all see
that everybody who dies in the war, even in jihad, does not necessarily die a martyr.
Yeah, that's right. The people said that he is shaheed, he is sabirillah, and the Prophet said, no, he is shaheed al-himar.
So everybody who dies in the battlefield with the Prophet does not die a martyr because of that last bit.
Likewise, you will say that someone who doesn't necessarily die in a battlefield could still die in one's life.
Because that intention is gone.
And it means witness, as in his witness to prove you can be living in the shade.
So, this verse, وَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً starts with مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ
مُؤْمِنٌ.
If you believe what you do, the rest is not up to us. We believe in what we are doing, we might see the fruits here, we might not see the fruits, we will get rewards definitely in the hereafter. Right. last verse that I want to discuss today.
Just on the bottom of this page is an ayah that was recently being discussed in.
It's a different one.
On the internet, on an argument going on about Nasikh and Mansukh.
Nasikh and Mansukh.
A Sunni guy was saying that this is the proof, one of the proofs amongst many, that Allah has changed some verses, and some verses have been abrogated in the Quran. That when we change one sign for another sign, agenda number 101, with Abu Dalda. وَإِذَا بَدَّلْنَا آيَةً مَكَانَ آيَةً. When we change one sign, one ayah if you like, for another ayah, and Allah knows best what He sends down, they say, you, O Muhammad, are a forger. Because you are changing your mind every 2 minutes, you know? Yeah, ayat for Chalsiwan. It's an interesting ayat because one Shia stepped in and brought the argument to a conclusion by saying that you've missed the boat. It's got nothing to do with Nasikh and Mansukh at all. What it refers to is that the Prophet was revealed, was what he was saying was amongst the stories of the ancients. And every so often the Quranic version would diverge from the biblical or the Judaic version, especially the Judaic version. You know, so he was talking about the story of Musa, but some detail would be in the Quran that is against what the Jews believed. And immediately they would say, Abadu Satuche, the rest of you are forged.
What the
kind of shit? That is what it refers to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes one sign for us. So if it refers to the difference between the two scriptures.
But he wouldn't have changed the signs. They would have changed the signs.
Yeah. So what he says is it means that when he replaces one bit of knowledge and information with what people know, he replaces that with what is in the Quran. Then they start saying, now this part you are a forger. You forged, it's not true. The rest we believe in. But then, because the next say, O Muhammad, to the believers, it is what Jibreel has brought down to you from your Lord with the truth. We didn't talk about this verse in Nasik and Masud, did we?
No.
It's an interesting one, eh?
It is.
Anyway, the argument's come to stop now. I don't know if somebody else will bring back.
Can you discuss in groups?
Soc.religion or Islam? News groups, yeah.
News groups, you know. Right, Surah Fatir, verse 28. 35-28. إن الله عزيز غفور. It's interesting you know, when he wants to talk of ulama, he talks of الناس الدواب العام. You know what العام الدواب؟ دواب beasts, wild beasts.
العام domesticated beasts.
العام مرتين من الناس domesticated. من عباده العلماء come from Nas and Dawabir al-An'am. Currently, when he talks of people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks of people, he says, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ وَآذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا أُولَٰئِكَ كَلْ أَنْعَامِ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described human beings like cattle, human beings who are living, breathing, listening, but because they do not have faith, because they are not willing to listen to the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their life on this earth has been reduced like that of the life of cattle. Khudam wa ta'ala Quran, when it comes to the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very clear that only a person who believes has certain said tasbih kare che ek alag vachi. So when they doing tasbih ek alag vachi, we are talking of insan who has the power to rise, to get closer to Allah, right? To rise even above the angels. Aa janwaro che tasbih kare che, you are allowed to slaughter and eat them. They have been created for us. That is just to understand the varying forms of life. Life is from Allah, from human beings, you know, and then it comes down to even inanimate objects have a certain form of life in which they should just do tasbih. If that argument is true, he said there are two arguments. And yeah, the question is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created human beings, but these human beings push themselves below the status of animals by having hearts not understanding, by having eyes not looking, by having ears not listening. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. You see, Sayyid Kamal Haider, he makes some very important points on something. He says, originally, the world today, one serious theory, policy theory, is that of human rights. What basis is human rights? Human rights is purely on humanitarian grounds, whereas Islam, human rights in Islam is not purely of human rights.
It's an elitist theory, it's a dangerous theory.
It is.
The theory of the Aryans, except theirs was based on race.
Sorry?
It was the theory of the Aryans.
They had based it on race. This one is based on religion. It doesn't have to be an Iranian, Aryan, or Iraqi, or a black, or white. It's based purely on religion. And therefore, when it comes to Islam, Muslims, and non-Muslims, it's a very serious theory. When you listen to him, it makes sense. that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent this message, that preference for believers.
He makes the point that it's not true discrimination, because discrimination is to be sidelined for a thing you cannot change.
Discrimination is?
To be oppressed for a thing you cannot change.
Right. You have no control over.
Yeah, like who you are, or your color, or your
like the Jews do. You have to be born a Jew. You can't change that.
Or black and all. But to discriminate against a non-Muslim is not true discrimination, because they can change.
They can come
into the fold of Islam and enjoy equal rights straight away.
Well, it's like you would give someone, if you didn't give someone a job because he was black, that would be wrong. But if you didn't give him a job because he was ignorant, he'd be within your rights.
Because he can change his ignorance to knowledge.
Like that, isn't it?
And he can change his kufr to iman and become equal with Muslims.
That's the single theory. Even in Muslim countries, don't have that. Don't understand that by signing these charters, the theory is very simple, that Muslims have priorities on Muslims in the eye of Islam.
Islam used that theory, didn't it, with the Zimmi tax?
Of course.
Your non-Muslims paid greater tax, and Muslims paid less. And even in fiqh, I think, you buy and sell, you pay.
Everything has preferential treatment for Muslims, right? Wartime, my blood is saved, and so on,
Well, that's theory, yeah. In practice, if you're a Hindu, or a Hindi, and you go to Arabia, you're treated worse.
But those are different grounds. What I'm saying is,
if you look at fiqh, though,
when we think in this part of the world, when we try to understand events that are happening in a place around us, and we try to judge them according to the prevailing mode of human rights, right? We will fail to see the vision of Islam. Right? We are trying to judge according to the prevailing system of human rights. And that prevailing system of human rights is humanitarian. Jare aapne chhe first and foremost is the Musliman chhe gunegar hoy jannat na khada ma jaye nahi. Musliman chhe takes a different kind of preference.
What do you mean treatment? Because wasn't that the story of Imam Ali, when a Christian wasn't getting, he was poor on the street, and he was asking, why is this man not being given help? Didn't he pay his taxes when he was young and able to? I mean,
a slightly different scenario, though.
Well, when we talk about human rights in an Islamic country, for example, are we saying that all people are treated equally? However,
no, Muslims are treated better, but non-Muslims are not treated like that.
Exactly. Essential and basic are wajib for all.
But in what way are they treated better?
If I had only one drop of water that can save only one life, and there was a Muslim and a non-Muslim, who would I give to?
Well, you'd have, it changes. If there was your brother and a person who was a Muslim and not your brother, you'd give it to your brother. And there'd be levels of which you'd go first.
I'm saying, Muslim and non-Muslim, so what do you do? No relation. Who do you say?
I would keep to a Muslim because I'm related to him.
No.
But for example, it was a Muslim Manji and a Muslim somebody else.
No. Then you're right.
And if it was my brother and my cousin.
Brothers, who do you mean?
No, but both are Muslims, right? Both are Muslims. He's saying Muslim and Christian.
That's just another boundary.
No, there's a very important boundary, much more important than the boundary you're saying.
But if there were two Muslims, we would,
That's a different question.
No, I don't know. Because we're related in the same community.
जान बचाओ वास्ते एक कद्दू को मार याद रखो सवाल है
वैक्सीनेशन के उधर
मुस्लिम नहीं है वो क्रिश्चियन जाएगी हाँ जब मुस्लिम तो भाई बड़ी जाए तब मुस्लिम करेगा भाई वो हाँ क्रिश्चियन नहीं है चार चार
It depends on the niyat.
No, chalai nahi. Chalai nahi. Tame ek cheez ye dekhe Musliman no khun no wabal lido sathe ye jo Christian Musliman sathe ho tainu wabal tam.
Na Christian ne kiya ke jo am Musliman che to bada bhai tu Musliman tha tare aapko. To pache tane be mali ne.
Right. Next Monday, inshallah, we shall meet at 7:30.